Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program because it's about prayer. Prayer is our lifeblood as Christians. It's where we connect with God. Prayer takes the form of speaking and also listening. I preached a mission at St. Vincent de Paul Church in Houston, Texas, and I talked about prayer. Let's go to the live preaching. Well, I want to continue talking about prayer this morning, and my hope is that as you open your heart to prayer, that God will touch you in a very beautiful way. I don't know if you ever heard the story about this man. He was praying and he said, "Lord," he said, "thank you that so far today I haven't gossiped or complained or mumbled or been negative or talked about anybody. But," he said, "pretty soon I'm going to get out of bed and I'm really going to need your help." Well, I like to tell that story because prayer really is about getting the help of God. It's about getting God's strength. It's about getting the anointing and the refreshment that God offers. You know, as religious, we get together, we gather together every day and we pray the office and we begin by saying, "Oh God, come to our assistance. Oh Lord, make haste to help us." See, prayer is the assistance and the help of God that we need. We need that strength. And any of you that are in the 12-step program, you know that. In fact, the only way that you can ever recover from any kind of an addiction is really by, you can't do it by yourself. I'll be talking about change as the week goes on. But you really need that help of God, that strength of God. The 11th step in the 12 steps is about prayer. And I love the 12-step program. I'm not in it myself, but sometimes I help out on 12-step retreats. Of course, the 12 steps are Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, all these anonymous programs. Well, they have a saying for prayer that I really love. They call, those in the 12-step program call it conscious contact with God. Think about that. Prayer is conscious contact with God. What we're doing is we're directing our mind and our heart to contact God, to actually meet Him, to encounter Him, if you will. You know, you go out throughout the Bible, there's all kinds of different stories about, for example, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Gospel of Luke. He's praying, and he has this glorious experience. So what it's telling us is that prayer is this encounter with God. Now, I told you yesterday that you don't always feel different things when you're praying, but it's all about faith. But let's continue with that image about contact, conscious contact with God. That's what your prayer life's all about. I have kind of an image that I like to use about a mother, and when she has her baby in her womb, that baby is connected by an umbilical cord. And that umbilical cord, what the umbilical cord is doing is it's providing nutrients and moisture and fluids to the baby because the baby can't do it of itself. Then once the umbilical cord is cut, the baby's on its own. In the same way, we got to stay connected. Prayer is kind of like an umbilical cord to God, where we got to stay connected and allow God's nutrients and strength and moisture to come to us. See, a lot of people are living their life on their own. They're living their life, disconnected from God, trying to be their own person, trusting in their relationships and in their money and in their own abilities. And, that'll only take you so far. What you got to do is you got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And if you're going to be a person that's disconnected from God, really, your life's going to end in misery. And if any of you are watching today, and you know that you need God in your life, I'm going to ask you to turn to prayer. Because prayer is where you will find an encounter with the living God that will change your life. Get connected. When they do the spacewalk, I find it very fascinating to watch them. They're always tethered to the mothership. And if you're not tethered, you're just going to be floating somewhere. And that's the way a lot of people are living their lives. They're kind of walking out in space somewhere. They're untethered, and they're just kind of floating around. They're not centered. They're not attached. I remember I did a tape series years ago called Stay Centered and Attached. See, prayer gets you centered, and it keeps you attached to God. I remember, it was Jesus that said in the Gospels, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So really, that's what we're doing in prayer. We're getting connected to the vine. We're letting that sap, that moisture flow through us. And what we have to do is really, not only every day, but many times during the course of the day, we can get disconnected. Life can throw curves at us, and storms blow in, and rain comes, and the wind hits and everything, and we can get discombobulated. And what we need to do is stay centered and attached. So that's the foundation I want to lay out here this morning a little bit to you. It's the importance of prayer. In fact, I want to tell you that prayer is vitally important, extremely important. It's our lifeblood as Christians. I remember I was telling you yesterday that I had the opportunity to study over in Rome, and I got to go over to the Sistine Chapel, as I was telling you, and saw Michelangelo's great creation up on the ceiling. But it's interesting, you know, when you go into the Sistine Chapel, you come in through a door right in the sanctuary wall there. And then you walk in and you look, you know, the altar's to the back of you. You look up on the ceiling. But once you get your bearings there, you look back at the sanctuary wall where you just came in, you'll see not only did Michelangelo depict creation on the ceiling, he depicted the Last Judgment on the sanctuary wall. And it's interesting, you know, when we studied over there, we had an art teacher that kind of showed us the way and helped us to appreciate art even more. And I remember she took us over to the sanctuary wall and showed us everything. And the Last Judgment is this, really, it's this terrible scene. I mean, down below you have all the demons and the people that are thrown into hell. Up above you've got Jesus sitting there as the great judge and the angels and everything. And, by the way, you know, with all the demons, I guess Michelangelo was having a problem with one of the cardinals at that time. I think, one of the cardinals was coming against him, didn't like what he was doing in the Sistine Chapel. You know what Michelangelo did? He painted the face of one of the cardinals right in the demon. I wouldn't have known that, but our art teacher pointed that out. Well, anyway, if you look really closely, dangling, I wouldn't have seen this either, dangling between heaven and hell were these two men holding on to what looked to be a rope. And this rope was being held by an angel, and down beneath, as the men are dangling and holding on for dear life, down beneath were demons about ready to grab them, you know, come into hell, you know. Interesting thing is, when you look really closely, and this is what our art teacher pointed out to us, we're talking about the importance of prayer. That's not a rope that they were holding on to, that was a rosary. And Michelangelo, in picture form, in art form, was telling us about the importance of prayer. Not only the rosary, what Michelangelo was saying is any form of prayer, whatever your favorite form is. It may be the rosary, it could be the Bible, it could be just spontaneous prayer, getting quiet. Whatever form of prayer you want, you need prayer to keep you attached to God. I remember, you know, we're talking about the importance of prayer. I'm a golfer. I love to play golf. And I remember one time I was out there on the course, and I was with my buddy up in Michigan. And he's a 70-year-old man, you know, has a daughter, he's married. And, you know, we just like to go for a week at a time, go play golf, some of the nice courses up in Michigan. And, you know, the interesting thing is, in order to save money, what I do is I stay in the same room as he. Now, I'm not used to that. I'm used to having my own bedroom. And, you know, you get up in the morning, you get centered, you pray and read the Bible, you know, spend some time really getting attached to God so that you can live your life with victory. Well, anyway, I was there, you know, and he's Catholic and everything, but, you know, I just feel a little strange praying in the morning in front of him. So what would happen is, you know, I'd say this quick prayer while he was in the bathroom, and then, you know, we go out into the course, and I'm playing these great courses, and I'm having fun. But inside, I felt so agitated and frustrated and irritated and discombobulated, you know, all the aided's. And I was really struggling. I'm thinking to myself, you know, why is this going on? I'm on good golf courses. I'm on vacation. I'm having fun. I'm with a friend and everything. Why am I so upset inside? And then, of course, it came back to me. When you're not centered, you haven't been praying, any little thing that life throws at you, you are going to get frustrated. You are going to go, ah! You know, you're going to lose your peace. You're going to struggle. It's going to be hard. That's why we need to be centered. Many people are living their lives all frustrated and bent out of shape, you know, going from one thing to the next, just saying, I hate life. Well, life can be sweet if it's in God. You can have power. See, the one thing that the devil's trying to do is steal your peace. If he can steal your peace, he's got you. Because peace is powerful. You know, and God gives you that peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding is yours when you come in prayer. So it's vitally important that you pray. You know, you get centered. You stay attached. It's extremely important. Prayer is our lifeblood as Christians. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why people don't pray, and it occurs to me, you know, they kind of get discouraged or they kind of give up, you know, even though it's important and they know it, it's because that nothing seems to be happening when they pray. You know, you can get there and you can be a faithful person and you can be praying and everything, and it just doesn't seem like God's hearing you. And as I said yesterday, your arms get weary and it starts to go down and you get tired and you kind of give up. Well, what I'd like to tell you is that, you know what, many people, and I hinted at this yesterday, many people pray, but they're praying for what they want, not necessarily what they need. And let me try to explain that to you. I talked a little bit about that yesterday in my homily at all the Sunday Masses. What I want to say is that, you know what, many people are praying for what they think they need, but really it's what they want. And God hears you, but he has a lot of wisdom. And what he's going to do is he's going to give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. Well, let me get into that really quickly. It's kind of a crazy story, but it illustrates the point. I remember I was in California, and I was just about to preach a mission, and it was Sunday morning. And like yesterday, you know, I had all those masses preached to thousands of people. I'm so glad that you all came. And I remember I was just about to get, I just got up, and I was going into the bathroom, and I'm there in the bathroom. I just got there last, you know, the night before. I hadn't taken a shower yet or anything, and so I'm just about to take the shower, and, you know, I turn on the faucet. Oftentimes, you know, when you're in a room, the guest room in the rectory, somebody hasn't stayed in there in a long time, and rust will come out, you know, all this different thing in the water. Well, anyway, the water came out, and it looked pretty good, and it was a lot of pressure, and I go, great, this is going to be a good shower. I'm ready for this, because, you know, my hair is sticking up. I just get up early in the morning. Well, anyway, I pulled on that sprocket, you know, that makes it come out of the top, and as I'm pulling on it, it wouldn't budge. You know, the thing was... It was calcified shut. I'm going, oh, great. You know, man of prayer that I am, immediately I said, Lord, you know, I need your help here. I got a long day ahead of me. I'm going to be preaching to a lot of people. Send the oil of your Holy Spirit to anoint this thing to open it up, you know. So anyway, to make a long story short, I kept pulling on this thing. It would not budge. I said, now what am I going to do? You know, I got mass in a little bit. Got all these people I got to preach to. What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, I heard in the depths of my spirit, and that's one of the ways, you know, you can hear God in prayer. I heard this little voice that said, Cedric, why don't you take a bath? I never thought of that before. So I put all my years preaching as a missionary, never did this. I put a little stopper in the thing, turned on, took a bath. It was nice and warm. It was really good. Now, I didn't get what I wanted, but I got what I needed. And that was a nice warm bath, and I was ready to go for the day. And, you know, I know it's kind of a crazy story, but it's the same way. Yesterday I was talking about a woman who had cancer, you know, praying for that cancer to be taken away. But you know what? She didn't get that, but she got what she needed, and that was the presence of God in her life, that touch of God. What do we really need? We need God, folks. You know, sometimes he'll answer our petitions. He'll answer our prayers, you know, in miraculous ways. He can do anything and everything. But you know what? What we need most is his awesome presence. We need his beautiful presence in our life to strengthen us, to help us, so that we can face the storms and the adversities of our life, whatever we're going through. You know, we're all going through something. You know, there's all kinds of different things that hit us. We need God in our life. We need his passion in our life. We need his strength in our life. Otherwise, everything's going to come unraveled. You know, it's God's power, and it's his strength, and it's his presence in our life that we need. If you look at the Bible, it's interesting. Paul prays these beautiful prayers in the letter to the Ephesians. Actually, scholars tell us that it wasn't Paul that wrote Ephesians, but he writes the author of Ephesians and the other letters of Paul, these beautiful prayers to God. Now, look how Paul prayed. He wasn't, you know, he was going through a lot of tribulations and trials. Eventually, he was martyred, as you know. But he didn't pray so much to be taken out of them. He prayed to be grounded and rooted in God's love. He prayed to be a person of character and integrity and virtue. So in other words, oftentimes we're praying for all these things we don't even really need. And really, it's God who comes to help us with what we really need. And what do we need? A relationship with God, His strength, His power, growth in virtue, growth in character, the ability to face our storms and our trials and to go through victoriously. So I always tell people, you know what? Try to pray with wisdom. Try to pray in the Holy Spirit, not just these ejaculations that you don't even know about. Remember King Midas, for example, you know that fable way back when of King Midas? He wished that everything he touched, the theme of the mission, of course, is He touched me. He wished that everything he touched would turn to gold. Well, that's a nice wish. You know, a lot of people have that wish, especially business people that are going through, you know, and trying to climb the corporate ladder. Well, he got his wish. Remember what happened? I always say, watch what you pray for. You might just get it. Remember what happened? He went over to a banana one time because he wanted to eat, and it turned to gold, and he couldn't eat. You know, all of a sudden, he's real hungry, and everything that he touched turned to gold, so now he was starving. Then one day, his daughter came running up to him and said, Daddy, Daddy. He says, no, don't touch it. She turned to gold. And again, you know, what I tell people is, watch what you pray for. You might just get it. And God has a lot of wisdom. He knows what we need. You pray for His touch. You pray for His wisdom. You pray for the grace to face your trials. That's what we truly need, more than the things that we want. So don't get discouraged when you don't seem to be getting what you think you need or what you think you want. God hears you, He knows, and He's with you. And that's the final point that I really want to make here this morning. You know, I could go on about prayer all the time and talk for hours, but we only have just a little time here this morning. I want to tell you that God does hear you, and it's a reiteration of the point that I made yesterday at Mass. Sometimes it seems, you know, you're praying, doesn't seem like God's hearing you. Where are you, Lord? And, you know, but He really is right there, and He's watching over all of our lives. I remember this came home to me one time. I was at the airport in Houston, and I was about to travel to Boston to preach a mission. And, you know, I'm standing there, and everybody's sitting there reading the paper and everything, and we're about to get on the plane. I love to pray on airplanes. I love to pray on airplanes, especially when we're taking off and when we're landing. But let me just tell you that I get a little bit anxious when I'm about to fly. Because, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm going to be sardined into that plane for a long time. And, you know, I remember I was thinking, you know, this is going to be a long trip. And I get there, rush hour. It's a Friday afternoon, Boston, you know, the rush hour traffic. I got to get to Worcester. It's going to be this big, huge thing. So I started feeling anxious and everything. Remember, you know, when you're not centered, that happens. When you're not trusting in God, your help, that happens. So I'm standing by the window, and I'm watching all the tugs underneath the aircraft, and they're putting the luggage in, and, you know, there's people going to and fro and doing this and that. And as I'm watching, all of a sudden, I watched this little teeny bird. It flitted over, and it flew right on the windowsill. And the bird was a sparrow, just this little teeny sparrow. And I looked at its little eye, and he kind of looked up at me, and I looked down at him. And all of a sudden, as I'm looking, you know, I know the scriptures, and I know them very well. All of a sudden, I thought of that verse that where Jesus said, trust in your heavenly Father. His eye is upon the sparrow, and His eye is upon you. So as I'm looking at the sparrow, thinking about all my trials and difficulties and the rush hour and flying and all that, I'm thinking, you know what? God is watching me right now, just as I'm watching that sparrow. And, you know, that sparrow has value, but you and I have a lot more value than that. And it's the same for you watching on TV right now. God is watching you. And you have a lot of value before God. Maybe you've done some things in your past that you're not proud of. Well, He'll forgive you. You just got to come to Him. And you are of infinite value to God. Trust Him. Well, anyway, I got on the plane, and we flew to the place, you know, to Boston. Got the car, rush hour traffic. Yeah, it was a hassle, but I got to Worcester okay. And, you know, the whole time I'm thinking about that sparrow and God's with me, I get there, and you know, I had one of the best missions of my life. It was great. We had a great crowd, wonderful attendance. Good things happened. Well, right when I got there, you know, I moved in my bags, met the people and everything. You know, the priest, he takes me to my room. I unpack my bag, and I'm putting stuff in the bureau. And I look right above the bureau. There's a lithograph of a little sparrow. And underneath was the word, His eye is upon the sparrow, and His eye is upon you. And I said, thank you, Lord, that, you know, you send confirmation about prayer and about trust. And that's how I want to end, folks. God's eye is upon you. Don't ever believe the lie that you're not worthy, or He doesn't hear you, or it's not working, When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And I hope he will, in you and in me. And that's all he wants, is some trust and some faith. You know, you're infinitely valuable to God. He created this entire universe and didn't leave you and I out. So come to him with faith, praying not just for what you think you want or you think that you got to have. Pray for wisdom, pray for his touch, pray for his courage, pray for his help, but most of all, pray for his presence in your life. And as you do, I pray that you'll be filled with all the fullness of God, that you'll be able to face your storms, endure your trials, and live with victory. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a scene in the Old Testament, comes from Exodus chapter 17. The Israelites were doing battle with the Amalekites, and Moses is standing up at the top of a hill, and Aaron, his brother, was with him, and a man named Hur was with him. And whenever Moses had his hands up, they were winning the battle. But Moses started to get tired, and whenever the hands would go down, they'd start to lose the battle. So actually what had to happen was Aaron and Hur held his hands up so that they would win the battle. The illusion is the metaphor is so, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to figure this one out. They're talking about prayer. Whenever you're praying, and there's always a battle going on, the battle in your marriage, the battle for your children, the battle with your job, the battle of relationships, financial battles, addiction battles. We all got battles that we're going through. And the metaphor is clear. Whenever our hands are up, we can win the battle. But whenever we start to grow tired and weary and the hands start to drop, we start to lose the battle. That's why sometimes we need the community, Aaron, Hur, your church community, people that you live with, to help you to keep your hands up. That's really important. Now, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told us a parable about not growing weary in prayer and not giving up in prayer, but staying faithful in prayer, having prayer as your lifestyle. As a religious, I have a very disciplined lifestyle. You know, we have a horarium of prayer in the morning, prayer in the afternoon, where we all get together. But it has to be more than just community prayer. You have to have individual prayer. And he told that parable about the widow and the unjust judge. And the unjust judge didn't care about people. And this widow that had all these needs kept coming to him and coming to him and coming to him. Finally, he says, look, I don't care about God. I don't care about people. But because this widow is wearing me out, I'm going to give her what she wants. And Jesus said, listen to the unjust judge. If an unjust judge will do this, how much more will God vindicate his chosen ones that keep calling out to him? So he was talking about prayer and not growing weary. So prayer, of course, is your lifeblood. It's where you connect with Jesus and abide in Jesus. And that's how you win the battles of life. Because really, when push comes to shove, the battle belongs to the Lord. Also, and more importantly, actually, prayer isn't just about getting things or obtaining justice and winning battles, but it is about that. Prayer, most of all, is about intimacy with God, developing your personal relationship with God, and getting close to God. And we know that. We pray so that we can know God. A great saint in the Catholic Church, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, had something called her little way. And she found out about God, that God wasn't a harsh and punishing God. And she said, God became a child. And if God can become a child, there's no way that he's mean or harsh and punishing. And just like a child, God is tender and merciful and kind. Saint Teresa had her own little way. She was a Carmelite nun, spent a lot of time in contemplative prayer. And she realized that prayer, contemplative prayer, quiet prayer, silent prayer, speaking prayer, was all part of a sacred romance. And she had her own little way. And what I want to tell you is that you have your way with prayer. Nobody is like you when they pray to God. You have your own individual, unique, rare, distinct style. And I want to encourage you to pray in your own little way. For example, no two marriages are alike. Married people may be married to a partner, but you treat your partner in a different way and you have your own way with your partner. It's the same way with God. It's individualized. I think about my own prayer life. I pray silently sometimes. I speak to God sometimes. I pray in a Trinitarian way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I have a relationship with all. I think about St. Paul the Cross, who used to have soliloquies. He used to have dialogues with Jesus crucified. Jesus, how did you feel at that moment? Jesus, how did you feel when they were tormenting you? How did you feel when they were blaspheming you? He would have soliloquies with Jesus. And he had what he called ejaculations in his prayer life, where during the course of the day, as it says in Scripture, pray always, he would just start praying and speaking to God. So have your own little way. I want to encourage you that your way is right. Have your own unique, personal, individualized, intimate relationship with God. But the main thing is, have prayer as your lifestyle. Prayer is a unique relationship with God, and it's your lifeblood as a Christian. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't let your hands go down, and you will win the battle. Don't just live. Live with passion. Aaron and Hur helped Moses keep his hands up, and they won the battle. I want to help you to keep your hands up in prayer so that you can win the battle. And one of the ways that I do that is I have a prayer request page at my website, FatherCedric.org. Every prayer request comes directly to me. Nobody else reads it, just me. And I pray for you. For example, I got this prayer request from a woman, and she said, remember my family, that they would come back to God. And I pray for her family. And then she said something interesting. Remember my husband, although he struggles, thank you because you're a true blessing. Your preaching has my husband's attention. No preacher has ever had his attention in 30 years. We love you and we pray for you as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I want you to know, go to Father Cedric and I'll pray for you. And also, I've written some resources on prayer, The Sacred Walk and Thy Kingdom Come. These two books will help you to keep your hands up in prayer. They'll inspire you, they'll help you, they'll help you to pray well, and to win the battles of your life. I want you to know also, 100% of any money that you spend, any donations that you give, goes right into the production and the airing of Live with Passion, so that I can reach out with the message of the gospel all around the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you in advance, and don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.